Let's talk to Andy Walsh, general manager of FC United in Manchester. They're the supporter-owned club formed in protest at the Glazers taking over at Old Trafford. And they were the first club in the UK to pledge to pay their workers the living wage. And Andy Walsh joins us now. Hello, Andy.
Hiya, good evening.
Hi, I think a lot of people will struggle with the fact that only one Premier League club is committed to paying the living wage. Why do you think that the others are so reluctant to follow your example and indeed that of Chelsea?
Choice. I think they choose to spend their money elsewhere on the stratospheric wages that you've just referred to there in your opening piece about players. And we think that there should be some moral leadership here. You know, Richard Scudamore and the Premier League make a big play about the money they're putting into grassroots football, which, you know, in another discussion is largely just the crumbs from the Premier League table. Mm. But they're quick to make those moral claims, yet they're not willing to give moral leadership on the living wage. And I think really Chelsea need to be commended for pledging to introduce the living wage, because it's not so simple. You know, in London it is £9.15. It's elsewhere in the country, it's £7.85 actually. But
it's going up to £8.80 soon, isn't it?
Well, they review it. They review it every year. And but with a club like Chelsea, they have to review all their subcontract contracts as well, so that they have to drive the living wage. To be a living wage employee, you have to drive it right the way through all your subcontractors as well. And it's a big ask. And maybe the Premier League clubs just think it's too much trouble. And for us, it was a question of what is right to pay people the living wage. We could just pay the minimum wage. Richard Scudamore said this morning, if politicians want the minimum wage increasing, then they should regulate for it. Is he then saying that they only do the minimum that they can get away with?
Well, I think he is. I mean, he basically said it doesn't make him feel uncomfortable. He says the reality is, just like in the film industry and the pop industry, the talent gets paid a disproportionately high amount. But when you're looking at the turnover of a club, and I can only talk of the one that I know, West Ham, where, I mean, a huge proportion of their turnover is paid out in salaries. And, of course, the overwhelming majority of the salary bill is to the sort of 22, 25 players that play week in, week out.
Yeah, and you can't blame the players. I know players are an easy target. It's about the leadership that's given by the Premier League, people like Richard Scudamore, by the owners of the football club. It's the choices they make and it's the priorities they set as a football club. For us, our priority is about the people who come and watch us, our supporters, and it's about the communities in which we're based, and that includes the people who work for us. So, you know, we believe that the living wage is only right to have as your minimum standard. And the Premier League, we think, given the vast riches that they are now able to tap into, we believe that they too should be following that lead and following the lead of Chelsea.
There are three letters that have come into sort of the business parlance in recent years, CSR, Corporate Social Responsibility. And a lot of football clubs really buy into this. They do a lot of charitable work. They do a lot of work in the community and should be commended for that. But to me, corporate social responsibility means that if you are making a huge amount of money, and OK, I'm not saying that every football club is hugely profitable despite these riches that they get, but if you're getting this kind of money from Sky and from BT, I would have thought it was part of your corporate social responsibility to make sure that the hundreds of staff that you employ are looked after properly.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
And this is not a left right thing, is it? I mean, I mean, no one would describe me as being on the left. But if my company suddenly started to get an income of this this nature, I would feel duty bound to pass at least some of that onto my staff, because they are also the ones that have made it possible.
Well, even David Cameron has said that he supports the idea of the living wage. So, you know, you're quite right to say this is not a left or a right thing. It's the right thing to do. And the minimum wage is there to set a floor that people shouldn't fall through. The living wage is actually an expression of what's required for people to have a reasonable standard of living. Not a high standard of living, but a reasonable standard of living. And Premier League football clubs have a huge revenue. And that revenue, it's quite right, should be shared amongst their staff. We're not asking them to go out onto the street and dish it out in envelopes in the communities in their local area. We're just asking them to look after the people who work for them, who actually generate the revenues that the football clubs, the players and the senior executives benefit from.
Tell us a bit more about FC United, because I think it's a fascinating thing that you've done. How successful have you been, and which division are you playing in?
We've been established for 10 years. We were established in 2005 when the Glazers took over at Old Trafford. We weren't willing to support the Glazers' business model. As a United fan, I was born a United fan. My dad made sure of that, and I'll be a United fan for the day I die. But if the Glazers and their like are insistent on treating football fans like customers, then I'll act like a customer. I'm not going to support their business model. I'll support the team in the best way that I can, but I can't afford the sort of prices that are being charged.
So you don't go anymore?
No, I've not been since 2005. Wow. So when we wanted to make a stand and say there's got to be an alternative way to run football, and that's taken a lot of work, but in 10 years, we've got more members now than we've ever had, over 3,600 members. We've got 1,500 season ticket holders. We've just raised £6.5 million to build our own football ground that's about to open in the next few weeks. £2 million of that was through a community share scheme that we pioneered in football that is now being used by the likes of Wrexham, Portsmouth, to bring real finance into the game, to allow football fans to have a real controlling stake and a say in the game. And, you know, the debate we're having today about the Premier League TV deal shows that fans need to have a voice. The game itself is poorly regulated by the FA, and it allows the owners' club of 20 teams in the Premier League just to ride roughshod over the national strategy for the game.
Do you think there is a certain rottenness about the game? In the end, football's, particularly the Premier League clubs, they're going to eat themselves, because this kind of financing cannot continue. And if Sky and BT suddenly decided that they were going to put their money into a different sport, what on earth would happen to football?
Well, Ian, the announcement today should be fantastic news for the national game, because that kind of investment would transform the national game. You wouldn't have to have parents walking around playing fields on a Saturday and a Sunday morning picking up dog mess and glass just so their kids could have a kick around. Mm. If that kind of investment in local communities would have a transformatory effect. It would regenerate whole areas, and it would make sure that the new young players coming through would have the best opportunity to shine and to get on and play football. But instead, we have a short-termism from the leaders of the game. The Premier League run the game effectively. The FA are toothless, and we think that there should be greater regulation. We think that fans and people involved in the grassroots of the game should have more say in the way the game is run.
Well,
and if we did, then we'd have a much stronger and a much better game.
I'm sure everyone listening to you, Andy, wishes you all the best of luck. I say all power to your elbow. I could talk to you probably for the next hour, but I'd get into a lot of trouble if I did. Thank you very much indeed. That's Andy Walsh, General Manager of FC United.